I'm Bobby Tryon, and this is North State Give and Take.
Today, I am going to interview Sheila McQuaid, and she is the project manager from the 530 Food Rescue Coalition. And I had interviewed Sheila not a year ago, but I don't know, maybe in April last year, where Sheila was working on getting this 530 Food Rescue Coalition going. And Sheila's going to bring us up to date on all the things that have happened and what the 530 Food Rescue is. Welcome, Sheila. I'm so glad to see you again.
Hi, Bobby. It is so great to be back with you. And I couldn't be more excited to reconnect and talk about food rescue in Butte County.
Good. So let's talk about, first of all, the two things that are the main things that the Food Coalition does.
So we, having talked to you last April, have a lot more clarity on the focus and aim of this project, and the timing couldn't be better to connect with you and get the word out to Butte County about this project and what it's going to offer as being a resource for the community. So when we spoke last year, we were looking forward to securing some technology to facilitate the mobilization of volunteers to transport food donations from food retailers in our community to local nonprofits. We switched gears slightly from our conversation last April and went with securing having a custom app built for our region, which you can imagine took a while and took longer than we thought it would, but we really wanted to get technology that would be high quality for this piece. And so we finally got our app just shortly before Christmas. And so the app is really that piece of technology that will provide last mile logistics for facilitating food donations. Again, from food retailers to nonprofits and housing organizations in our community who are feeding food insecure populations.
And an important thing right now is this SB1383. Tell us a little bit about why that's sort of important right now.
There's a lot of talk about Senate Bill 1383 that went into effect. Part of it went into effect for some food retailers and municipalities January 1st, 2022. Can't believe we're there, but we are. And so the main focus of Senate Bill 1383 is to keep organic wastes out of the landfill. And you and I talked a little bit last time about the environmental effects of organic waste landing into the landfill and how that is very bad for our environment. Mm-hmm. And so statewide in California, there is a mandate for food retailers to divert organic waste away from the landfill. And the part of Senate Bill 1383 that this project is poised and focused to work on is the recovery of edible food that would be headed to the landfill if we weren't to intervene and rescue it. So bigger food retailers like grocery stores are now required to make sure that they donate edible food rather than dump edible food. And so we're hoping to make that easier for our local food retailers by providing volunteers who can transport even small car size load donations to are many nonprofits and housing agencies who have people right now who need high quality, nutritious, fresh food.
Someone finally realized how important it is about thinking about global warming and the fact that when you put organic matter into a landfill, it breaks down and makes methane, which holds heat. So this must have been a while for this to get this bill passed, and with some realizing how important this is. So I appreciate that.
I do too. And California and New York are really the two states leading the way on this. So, you know, props to California.
Yeah, absolutely. The rescue is just perfect because they have to do something with this food. And I see what you mean by having some kind of an app where it fits together. Otherwise, how do you disperse it? How do you pick it up? who picks it up, all of those things.
Yeah. And so, you know, we talked also before, but the reality is nobody in the food system or in the food business wants to waste food. Yeah. But, you know, we all know the margins are super thin. Time is short. And so what we're really hoping with this project is that we can provide that coordination in the middle for the food retailers and the nonprofits. So the way the project will work is food retailers will be able to contact 530 Food Rescue Coalition. They will report to 530 Dispatch. We are right now building our database of all the locations where we might be able to send food. And the nice thing about this middle piece and coordination is we're taking in information from nonprofit partners and housing folks that are working on housing projects about what types of donations they can receive, what things they are looking for, what their highest priorities are, what they can't take, because we also want to prevent waste on that end. And then we will direct the food donations to the most appropriate nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Once we secure the donation and secure the nonprofit in our dispatch on 530, then we can push out a food rescue notification through our app. So the app that we have is really focused on mobilizing those volunteer food rescue heroes, we call them, to transport the food. And so if volunteers from the community sign up, they can download our app. It's available at the App Store right now. And they will receive a notification of available rescues, or they can go on the app and look for available rescues, which will be on a map. If they see a rescue that works for them as far as the timing of the day and the location of the rescue from point A to point B, they can claim the rescue. And then that's where the app really works like Uber for food rescue. And so once a volunteer claims the rescue, they will get an alert, a reminder through their phone. Oh, your rescue is coming up. And then they can push start on the rescue and the phone will use their mapping system and guide them to the food retailer with all the information. What we're really trying to do through the dispatch piece is we can front load the information for the volunteer so they get mapping. They have contact information from the food retailer, even pictures to say, go to this door in the back and ask for this person. So we can make it very hands-off and user-friendly on both the donation pickup piece. Once the volunteer secures the donation from the grocery store or, you know, the bread bakery or, you know, whatever food they're picking up and they load it into their car, they push next on the app and then the app maps them to the nonprofit with the same ability to give them the directions of, you know, who to text before they get there, who to call when they get there, where to go, and then they can drop off the food donation. They can take a selfie with the food donation and show what they did that day. But, you know, it's really as simple as that. And so the wonderful thing about using technology for this process is it accomplishes guiding the volunteer experience so the volunteer can conveniently pick up and drop off a food donation and make a very big impact in their community. Mm-hmm. The other piece is that for the food retailers who are now required to show that they are donating edible food, we will be able to supply them with the data for their food donations. So it's really a great use of technology. We are super excited about it.
You're listening to an interview with Sheila McQuaid about the 530 Food Rescue Coalition. Stay tuned and we'll be back in a minute.
Thank you.
nor state give and take, and back to our interview with Sheila McQuaid from the 530 Food Rescue Coalition.
You know, I when I think of different grocery stores, some are big, some are little. That's another thing. If you had a truck, I suppose that's one. You could take a lot more food. How much food gets moved around?
Ugh. So much. But, you know, here's the great thing with the app also. When volunteers sign up, they build out a profile for themselves and you can select what your car size is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we can say when we post a rescue, a food rescue, we can let them know what to expect. Is this a car load? Would this be a truckload? So all sizes are welcome. We are, you know, partnering with the North State Food Bank under Community Action Agency. And so when we do get huge donations, we have access to the North State Food Bank's truck to support that as well. So really, we are looking at primarily those carload size donations, which are the ones that fall through the cracks, frankly.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it doesn't feel like enough food for a food retailer to, as you said, go through that process of posting a donation, calling nonprofits, trying to find out where the food should go.
But they have to now.
They have to.
Which is another thing that makes this program will be a success, because they have to.
Right.
Is this countywide? So how far would people drive? What area are you covering?
So our first phase, we are looking to be covering all of Butte County. So again, the way the project works is our first priority is to match donations with nonprofits as close together as possible, so that the volunteer driver really is driving, you know, less than a half an hour. My weekly donation that I pick up, it takes me 20 minutes to pick it up and drop it off. And I feel really good about myself.
Yes.
I mean, you really do. You feel accomplished. You feel like you've made a really positive impact for both the food business and the nonprofit.
Exactly.
That said, we are a rural community. And so, you know, we're really curious to see what we can do as far as getting food donations out to some of our furthest corners of Butte County. And, you know, if we have someone who's commuting from Chico up to the Ridge, I could see that working. I think both things will happen. We'll have some very short trips within Chico, Oroville, some of those communities. And then, you know, hopefully we will reach volunteers and be able to coordinate some of those longer drives for people who are headed out to Concow anyway. And, you know.
And so now what about perishable things like a cooler? I imagine the summer that'll be different. Those are things you're probably all going to figure out as you go.
So food safety is always a concern. Again, the app is really helpful with the time stamping, hoping to coordinate short delivery windows. It's really not that different than DoorDash as far as having a driver pick up from a food retailer and drop off to. But, you know, part of the reason I feel really confident and comfortable moving into food rescue is we are focused on food retailers who are professional. And then on the other end, you know, working with nonprofits, will be supporting them with food safety advice and serve safe training if they need it on the receiving end. And everything that we're looking to transport, at least initially, will be, you know, cold or cooled. We're not transporting hot food.
No.
We'll be working with caterers, but, you know, we'll be having them probably refrigerate and make sure that everything that is picked up is ready to be transported safely.
Oh boy, what a great idea. Good for everyone involved. And now it has to happen.
Yeah, it has to happen. We're ready to facilitate. I do feel like everybody wins, you know, food retailers. We're offering a convenient way to get food donations to local nonprofit and housing orgs. We're going to collect data for them and hopefully do some social media promotion of their generous donations that are, you know, going to go to the nonprofits. The nonprofits, you know, we're so excited to take some of that food donation coordination off their shoulders for their staff and also really fine tune what they're getting. And so, you know, we want to, again, eliminate waste on the backside of the nonprofits too. A lot of times, and we've seen this with the Campfire, and we've seen this with other community events where, you know, well-meaning donations end up being inappropriate or too much or going to the wrong place. And so we're really hoping to help fine-tune what they're receiving so they're not ending up with more work or waste on the back end of it. And then, you know, the volunteer piece, we're just so excited because honestly, Food Rescue Hero likes to say, we believe people are wired to help. They just need a way to help.
Yep.
And so, you know, offering this opportunity for the community to be able to make a positive impact by rescuing good food and getting it to food insecure people is going to be a great community builder. So,
well, and it's not very complicated. You go pick it up and you drop it off. You don't have to be big and give a lot of time. So it's a good volunteer possibility for people.
It really is. I always say I am a lousy volunteer, Bobby. I just, you know, I have a garden, I have kids, I work full time. There's a lot of barriers to volunteering. And I'm also an introvert. I don't particularly have the energy after all of my other stuff to go be inside a classroom or inside, but picking up and dropping off food is something I can do.
Yes.
And I could do it with my kids in the car. It's a great learning experience for kids to be able to engage and, you know, be an agent for positive change. Kids love to ride along and be food rescue heroes. It really is convenient because you can pick it up when it works for your schedule. And also if something comes up, you can request a substitute through the app. So that's really a nice feature also through the technology that, you know, let's say you commit to a weekly rescue, but you're going to be gone for a week, or you commit to a one-time rescue and you realize that day you're sick and you can't go, you can request a sub through the app. Our dispatch can shoot out a push notification to our volunteer network and someone else can pick up that donation and easily take it on. So yeah, we're really optimistic that it's going to be a convenient volunteer opportunity for people.
So the app is up and running at this time?
The app is available in the App Store. It's called 530 Food Rescue Coalition.
Okay.
So we got a custom-made app for our organization, which is pretty fancy. I'm just saying. We are, in all honesty, right now in a phase of reaching out to partners for the project. And so we have a very small staff right now, and we are working really hard to reach out to both food retailers to get them aware of the app and the opportunity to donate. We're also building up our partner network database. Our mentor organization has told us we really need to reach non-traditional partners because they would anticipate that our food donations are going to overwhelm the existing pantries very quickly once we mobilize. And so we're really interested in talking to all organizations right now who are distributing food to people or preparing food for people, because we would like as big a list on that side of our database as possible.
How are you reaching those people?
We are calling them. We are messaging them. Word of mouth. You know, this is why I really appreciate this opportunity, Bobby, to talk to you, because right now, you know, we are on a shoestring and small staff. And so it really is connecting with, you know, partners that we know through email, through phone, and then one-on-one conversations about. It really only takes a couple of minutes to put them into the database, but, you know, there's a process of just reaching that partner, talking through what their needs are. So it's me and my program assistant, Addie, who are really making those connections happen right now.
And then is there a form for them, or do you talk to them and fill the form out for them? Or
We find it easier that with a phone call, we can talk them through the questions and we fill out the database so that we have their information. That said, you know, we also follow up with either going to the site and taking pictures and uploading that information that they would want into the app, or having them email us pictures and specifics about delivery times, drop-offs, you know, what it would look like. And again, we're flexible. So a lot of, some of the nonprofits we're talking to haven't had a lot of food donations, and, you know, we will figure out the best system as we go. Other nonprofits are used to getting food donations all the time. And so it's pretty easy to set them up in the system. It's here's your address. Here's the drop-off door. This is the person that you call. And these are the hours that, you know, you can drop off at our site. Right. We will be starting out scheduling food donations. We want to schedule them when we have dispatchers available. So right now we're starting trying to schedule all the food donations, you know, between normal work hours. So Monday through Friday between 8 and 5. As we grow capacity to have more dispatchers on duty, we will probably, the first thing we'll want to do is fundraise enough money to have a weekend dispatch so that we can do weekend donations too.
Now, is that app for both an Android and an iPhone?
It is. So it's available in the Apple Store and also Google Play.
Okay. Yeah. And so if someone got on that today, it, like you said, you're just kind of fleshing it out. There's not a lot of opportunity right now, but you'd put your name in as someone who could be delivering food.
I'm expecting this next month or so, we're going to have some little ups and downs with that. So exactly as you said, right now we're really focusing on reaching out to food retailers, we're reaching out to our nonprofit partners, and we're not pushing super hard for volunteers, but we will be soon. But right now you can download the app, you can look at it, and you won't see a lot of rescues available initially, but we're hoping that's going to change pretty soon.
Oh, we're talking just at the right time, aren't we?
We are. We are.
I love that.
Yes.
Also, back to the methane that organic matter creates when it goes into the landfill. You had said something about a drop in the bucket. Was that what it was called?
Yes. So when we talked last time, I don't think I had signed up for a drop in the bucket yet, but there is a curbside service in Chico called Drop in the Bucket. And they will offer curb, you know, pick up at your house of your food scraps for just a very modest tipping fee. It's $5 a week. And they supply a bucket that's lined with a paper bag. And I'm able to put all of my food scraps for the week in that bucket. And miraculously, you know, once a week, it gets swapped out for a clean bucket. And those food scraps get delivered to community gardens like Kentfield Gardens around town and composted. So I would love to plug that project. Yes. It's been fantastic. It makes me feel really good. I think as we talked before, I don't have chickens anymore, so I don't have a big compost in my yard. And so I'm able to keep all my food scraps out of my waste stream with Drop in the Bucket. And so, you can find them on social media.
I'm sure you can Google Drop in the Bucket Chico and something will come up. Yep. I'm so glad to hear that, because you and I had talked about that. Just a neighborhood place where people could bring their compostable things and try to make that more of a viable option.
Yeah.
Because so, you know, you got to dispose all. That's one way people do it. But otherwise, just throwing it in your garbage is not good.
It's not good. Yeah. And yeah. So home composting isn't for everyone. So it's nice that there's this alternative way.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. And that's a tricky thing, because I think people feel as though, oh, if I put it in the landfill, it's good for the landfill, but that's not right.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, it breaks down and makes methane.
We're learning.
All things that, you know, we keep learning and figuring out ways to do the right thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this just sounds so good. We'll have to do this again as it builds, and, you know, we can talk about it and see how it goes.
Yes. Yay.
Yeah. So for all of my listeners out there, this is an interesting thing that probably some of you are volunteers in this community. And this is another kind of good and easy way to volunteer. So I'm glad we got that out there. How do people do it? The easiest way. I know the app. Download the app. That's important.
If you'd like more information, you can download the app. You can also go to our website. You can Google 530 Food Rescue Coalition, or just go to www.butecaa.com. and it's the food rescue page. So www.buttecaa.com/food rescue.
Okay. Okay. That's a way
to... You can also find that page by going to the Center for Healthy Communities website, and we have a link under the 530 Food Rescue Coalition that will take you to that page as well.
And you know how Google is. If you,
if you put in 530 Food Rescue, it's going to pop up for you. We also have an email address, which is info@530frc.org.
Okay. And so someone goes on the app, if they have any questions or concerns, a phone call to you?
They can call me. We have a phone number, which is 530-898-3574. They'll leave a message and I could return their call. Probably a really easy way to reach us is to like and follow us on social media.
Okay.
So we do have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram account and we have a Twitter account. So for anyone out there who is on social media, that might be the quickest way to message us.
Okay.
We're very responsive on social media. That's another great way to find out information about the project as well.
Does it have to be a retail or it does?
It does. And so that's a big, that's a great point to focus on. We are working with food retailers.
Okay.
We are not picking up from homes or private properties. We're also happy to help people direct, you know, where they can donate. But no, we're focused on picking up donations from retailers.
Okay. Okay. And a retailer that might hear this, they could go to the same route, go to the website or give you a call.
Absolutely. Any way they want to contact us, we will get back to them. And another thing that folks can do is talk about food rescue with their favorite food businesses. If you have a restaurant or a grocery store that you go to weekly, and you would like to help them donate food, you can become a food rescue volunteer for your favorite retailer, you know, and maybe suggest that to them. I'm here every week. Do you donate food? Would you like to be part of this project? You know, that's a great way to grow the program, especially if you're a person that goes to the same grocery store every single week. You're noticing you have a rapport with them. That's a great way to integrate food rescue into your routine with people that you know. So again, you know, the community building aspect of this project is something that I'm really excited about. And, you know, we have such a great community, Bobby, and everyone that I'm talking to right now, you know, working in nonprofits, just amazing people. Our food businesses have been just hit so hard with the pandemic and supply chain issues. And I'm just meeting and talking to so many wonderful people that it's really nice to make the connections and figure out a way to be supportive of their work. Because again, you know, we are filling this niche between sectors that have been just so impacted by the pandemic. And really the people I'm talking to on the phone every day are heroes in our community. And so it's kind of what keeps me going on this project. When I feel a little overwhelmed, then I talk to someone who's working much harder than I am in the community doing just amazing things. So,
And the other part to that is the SB 1383, they've got to come up with something.
Yeah. Again, there's no downside to this project. It's making a positive impact every way you look.
Yeah. Oh, I like talking to you so much, Sheila. You're so, it just makes me feel hopeful and good and reminds me about my community and all those things. It's great. It's good.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for talking to me today. We'll do it
Thanks again. So much.
And we'll do it again.
Yeah, we'll be in touch.
Yeah, and I'll keep my eyes out and I'll get the app.
Excellent.
Okay, great. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Bobby.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to my interview with Sheila McQuaid from the 530 Food Rescue Coalition here in Chico. Come back next week, 6 o'clock on Tuesday, for more of North State Give and Take. Stay tuned for Ginger and Radioactive.